Oh, there it goes. Breeze.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, South Reach 706. This is Dirt Bird Nation Report, the unofficial official podcast about the Twitter. I don't know why Jiff is yelling at me. This is her podcast. I just come in here and hang out every once in a while. We have our usual host. We have Bearded Josh, the bitter UGA fan. We got Reggie on here. We have a special guest, Eric Robinson. What's good, y'all?
What's going on?
What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
You know, what's going on is that we're still trash. lost again in Falcons fashion. The thing that pisses me off the most, and for full disclosure, I didn't watch the second of this game because I'm, as you see with my name, boycotting the Falcons till next year. when the official Atlanta Falcons page tweets out a meme before the game with the Spider-Man pointing thing, like, that's embarrassing. Like, that already sets the tone for what y'all are going to do because I ain't watch it. But, like, when your own franchise knows that you're the joke of the league, what does that say about you? And what do? We do what we're supposed to do. We Falcon ourselves, and we do become the joke of the league like we have been for the entire season. Underachieving, underperforming, underplaying, and wasting people's time. So, yep, rise up in the draft. So, let's go.
I think when it comes to something like that, like, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's only a tweet because you still got to go out and play the game at the end of the day. But, you know, when it comes to them trying to wipe away everything that has anything to do with Dan Quinn and the last regime and stuff like that, or even with Raheem Morris in place, man, I really haven't seen a whole lot of change. I mean, the defense has played a little bit better, but this team still, for some odd reason, has a hard time trying to close out a game, you know, and they did it in a fashion today that none of us really expected them to do. I didn't expect Matt Ryan to play that bad, but
Yeah. So we'll start with Jeff. What are your takeaways with this game? What are your thoughts on, I guess, Matt Ryan's performance? And everybody can jump in and just, you know, give their takes. But the timeline seems to be turned on Matt Ryan. There's a lot of people who wanted him to be sorry for the last, what, 5-6 years, but now they're really turning up the heat. So, like, what are y'all's guys' thoughts?
Man, I saw a lot of people talk about replacing with Gage already just off that one throw. Unfortunately, I could only watch like a quarter, so I don't have much to say about the game, but everyone is turning on him and everyone is also turning on Julio with his injuries. And it's weird to see, but I didn't see all of the game. I know Eric did, and he wanted to get his takes off on Matt and go in and let have. So I'm going to let him just go ahead and get his takes off on what he saw today with Matt Ryan, because he was pissed.
I mean, you know, I'm 100% in, you know, in Matt Ryan's corner every game, every week. You know, I love him. You know, he's been a hell of a draft pick. He's a Hall of Fame. He's a future Hall of Famer in my eyes. You know, you're going to have a hard time trying to find me criticizing Matt Ryan, but today he deserves that criticism because he played awful. Like, it was, I don't know what he was out there doing. He threw 3 interceptions today. 2 of them came within the last, what, 3 minutes, 2.5, 3 minutes of the game. Critical junctures of the game. Both of them also came in Chargers territory when they were driving down the field to either get a field goal by Koo or possibly, you know, score a touchdown. It's just, you know, they've had these moments all year where they put together a very important drive late in the game. Go back to last week with the Saints, putting together a very important drive late in the game only to just, you know, shit it away basically. And today was like, wow, it was just a new chapter. Like last week, you know, it was questionable play calling. This week it's Matt Ryan throwing, you know, making bad decisions. And I was very disappointed in him and his play today.
Josh, what are your thoughts? Oh, shout out to Marcus Sniffles. Yes, Duke Riley is making plays. Look at that. He leaves the Falcons and he's out here flourishing. Imagine that.
He's Panther themes after like best. Like he's talking like he's like a defensive. Stop working. But But yeah, to piggyback off of Eric, yeah, Matt. I mean, he played terrible. The pick that, I guess the second pick where he threw to Hayden, had he pump fake, he had Gage right behind the safety. That's probably a touchdown. And then like the first one to Calvin, stop calling plays like that if it's not going to Julio. Because again, something like that, you need a bigger body receiver who's gonna go up and attack the ball. I don't want Calvin for that particular play for something like that. So that's like a throwaway. It's like stop doing stuff like that. And then with the last one, not to make any excuse, but whoever the right tackle was, he kind of got pushed back, and that caused a bad throw, which made the ball float a little bit, which caused it to get picked off. But yeah, I mean, all around, everyone played bad except for Ito and I guess Gage or whatever. But yeah, Matt, yeah, can't have that.
If you go back to that first pick though, if you look at it on film, he actually had Jaden Graham on the corner route, and I think he had enough because I believe it was a play action, so he had enough time to pump fake and get the safety to bite to Calvin and hit Graham over the top. Now I know we don't like really drawing up plays for Jaden Graham, but he was wide damn open.
Yeah, he need to be involved as much as we involved Hurts.
Yeah,
but somehow we don't involve him.
Right.
So real quick, sticking on that interception that was thrown to Winterstone to Calvin Ridley in double coverage. So you're saying that absent of Calvin Ridley, that's a good pass, or you just don't want it going to Ridley? Because the kind of stuff I see in the timeline from the crazy Falcons fans is that, oh, Calvin Ridley's wide receiver number one, he's number one wide receiver, all this nonsense. But that looks like a play that a number one wide receiver, again, it's a tough play, but if he is that quote-unquote number one wide receiver that everybody's like, oh, he hit 1,000 yards today, oh, he's tied with Travis Kelce and DeAndre Hopkins, like, don't mention him in the names of those people if you're not expecting him to make the plays those people can make, because DeAndre Hopkins made that same play with like four people.
Exactly. I guess a way better defense.
Yeah. So, Eric, I'm kind of curious on your thoughts of Calvin Ridley. You know, since you're the draft god, you know what I'm saying, evaluating these people. Like,
Ridley's my guy. Ridley's my dude. Mm. He's a hell of a pick. But you can go back to Alabama, and he wasn't even making those type of plays at Alabama. He's not huge on making contested catches. That's not his thing. That is the type of throw you make for Julio, not for Calvin Ridley. And I, for one, and I'll say it right here, I don't believe Calvin Ridley is a wide receiver one. I'll be honest with you. Whenever they move on from Julio, they need to have a plan in place, because Ridley cannot be the main option simply because of plays like that. Those type of plays where you get the ball with him in space and his after the catch ability is in question, because he likes to run backwards, so he likes to run laterally. Like those little wide receiver ones don't do. Wide receiver ones get the ball, they go up the field, get the first down. I don't need you to try to cut across and run around six defenders.
that's the most nerve wracking thing, man. He loved going east and west, man. I'm like,
And plays like that, like that's how you get fumbles, trying to run back off the middle against defenders. That's how you get hit from the backside and you lose the ball. He's got to be better in situations like that. So yeah, I appreciate what he brings to the team, but he's not a main number one guy. I'm sorry.
Interesting. Reggie, what were your takes for the game?
Man, I'm just going through my notes, man. And yeah, man, I kind of figured what kind of day it was going to be, but I still had hope. Man, tackling. That's been piss poor since, you know, Dan Quinn has came to this team, man. Even when he got fired, man, I seen these boys like, man, we just letting the running back bounce off of the tackles all day today, man. And that's one thing that stuck out to me, man. I just got irritated seeing that happen. There's no way you should be letting these running backs in the backfield and still let them break off 4 or 5 yards and possibly, you know, more because you can't tackle right. So that was a main thing that stuck out to me today too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But we're not tough, man. We need a toughness check. And we obviously not tough, so.
Yeah.
I keep telling y'all I can do it. Like, I don't know why the Falcons won't hire me. I will only cost $100,000 and I will get that toughness on this team. I'm tired of my Charmin players. I don't need Charmin players anymore.
Yeah. We're just not good, man. Like, and unfortunately, the fans just get themselves in a frenzy, like, with just stuff that doesn't matter. Like, and it's just like they ignore, like I said last week, everything that's right in front of their faces. Like, look, we're not a good team. We're not a good team. We need to do a hard reset. None of this, oh, you know, let's keep Raheem. Oh, let's keep him in here. Oh, Raheem, he had a chance to keep his job until X, Y, and Z. No, Raheem did not.
I would keep Raheem as a defensive player.
No. Do you not forget last week against Taysom Hill, who can't even throw?
I get that. But they had to meet this week. They played a much more talented offense, and they bottled them up. That was a pretty good job today.
Because they have a dumb OC. Did you guys see how they ended their first half? They have a dumb OC.
And to be fair, you're playing a rookie quarterback, so
they're playing a rookie quarterback that was fourth in the league in passing.
I understand that, but still, like the expectation should be if you're playing a rookie quarterback, you should be able to contain him in that type of way. For me, but we're the Falcons, so we don't do that. So I mean, it is what it is. But the reason I would say no. Is that like when you do a full reset, get everybody out of there. Like, I don't want anybody in there that's familiar with these players because that just gives them that. You're like, oh, you know what I'm saying? If you're not playing good, maybe Raheem is going to tell me like I'm still good. No, I want new faces everywhere.
If they were to, you know, make a clean sweep, I'm fine with that. I'm just saying if they wanted to explore that option of keeping him, I would rather him be a defensive coordinator because – think of it this way. If you're a rookie head coach and you're coming into – if you're someone like Eric Bieniemy or even Joe Brady, you come into a situation like this and you possibly can have a guy that already knows his defense, already has had this defense for a few years, those are the type of decisions you make when it comes to making a strong staff. You already have a guy that's familiar with his players. Now, there definitely needs to be some improvement with personnel. There definitely needs to be some improvement with him as a defensive head coach or a defensive coordinator, period. But that would be a nice fallback option if you were a rookie head coach. I'm not saying they should do it. But I'm just saying, like, if they were, I wouldn't be totally against it.
So I guess the your point is going to be like a continuity thing, right?
To an extent. Because I'm not – okay, I'm saying that, but I'm also saying they need to improve this pass rush. Drastically. I'm not going as far as saying let's bring him back and run it back next year with the same guys on defense. No, they need to make a number of changes on defense. Definitely the pass rush. I would love to get another corner early in the draft if it's possible. And definitely a capable free safety. So I'm not sitting here saying just bring everybody back on defense next year. Absolutely not. Okay. But he would be a voice in the locker room for that defense that to me, I feel like they can work.
Fair enough. I'm of the scorched earth mindset. Like, hey, cool, Raheem. I hope you get a shot somewhere else, but let's get some new faces in this organization to make some changes. So, but I mean, we'll see soon. We only got a couple more weeks of Falcons misery to deal with.
Three more weeks.
Yeah.
Has the draft stuff updated yet? Because on the site I'm using, I still haven't seen us really move up any. It's
probably not going to update until tomorrow.
Okay.
It usually doesn't really update till like after the Monday night.
Yeah. Okay. So being that the draft is kind of your area of expertise, mm-hmm. let's just say for argument's sake, the Falcons finish with the fifth overall pick, right?
Yeah.
You see that we have a lot of pressing needs. I think that some of the needs on offense or some of the issues with the offense can simply be fixed with getting rid of Dirk Cotter, like first and foremost, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So if you're looking at it from that viewpoint, it's like, all right, cool. We got something going for us. We can get that going together. Matt Ryan hopefully does not continue to play like he's played this week, which is his worst game of the season. You could probably argue. Mm-hmm. So like you said, you'd like to get a corner early. So we have the fifth pick. What do you think we should do, or what would you do? So two questions. What should we do, and what would you do if you were the GM with that power?
We should get the best defender on the board.
Best defender or best available player?
Best defender.
Okay.
Because there's a possibility the best available player may be Ja'Marr Chase, may be a quarterback in that situation. Mm-hmm. I think they just need to get the best defender on the board. And even if that means getting a guy like Micah Parsons and reshuffling the linebackers a little bit, I'm fine with that. Micah Parsons is the difference maker. It's just getting the best defender on the board. I'm cool with it. It doesn't matter which level, which position.
Okay. So you wouldn't trade down?
Ooh, I would love to trade down. I'm never opposing trading down, because this year is going to be a good year where they have a number of picks because of the comp picks. I think right now they have either 6 or 7 draft picks, and they're going to have roughly about 3, maybe 4 comp picks. So they can walk into the draft next year with about 9 or 10 picks. Trading down would, of course, add some more picks on the back end in the future. And this is a draft where I think they can afford to trade down and still get someone that they really, really like. It's not really – how can I say it? It's really an offensive heavy draft, in my opinion, especially early on. But I think this is an opportunity for them where, especially with a new regime coming in, they can be a little flexible this year with the draft.
Yeah, and I think it kind of goes with what you were saying, that with the people that make the choice of personnel, if we trade back, that's great. But if they don't hit on the picks, it don't matter. So hopefully right. We're going to improve in that aspect, because we need a lot. We need like an infusion of talent.
Mm-hmm. You
know, like we right. need players, we need bodies. So.
Right, right. So, yeah, I think taking the best defender would be the best option there. Now, I'm not going to close the door on it. I do think there is a possibility they may walk away with a quarterback in round one.
I think it's possible.
I think it's possible.
Fields.
I want to see the hierarchy of the Falcons draft quarterback.
So here's why I say that. So right now, I think all of us can be in agreement when we say we're probably going to have Matt for what, another 2 years?
Yeah.
Yes.
Why not get a guy now and groom him for 2 years?
Because that makes too much sense. That's why.
It worked in Green Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
With Aaron Rodgers. And they did it again with Jordan Love.
I mean, with Aaron Rodgers is a different situation, because he's one of the all-time great arm talents. You know what I'm saying? Like, and Brett Favre.
But none of us can sit here and say that they needed to take a quarterback last year. They didn't need to.
That's fair.
They did it. They did it because they have that cushion, which is Aaron Rodgers. They can afford to do so. I'm not saying that should be the main priority for the Falcons, but if they were to walk away with someone like Zach Wilson in round one, I would not be against it, because taking a quarterback, letting them sit for 2 years, I'd rather go that route than for them to draft the guy and start him as a rookie from day one. I don't love that decision. I think teams do that a little too often. And if you look at some of the teams, Patrick Mahomes didn't start his rookie year. Patrick Mahomes sat. Deshaun Watson sat. It's not necessarily the greatest option, honestly. And I don't want the Falcons to go through that, because if you go to a situation where you're a rookie quarterback and your rookie quarterback fails, that can set the franchise back for a long time. Ask Cleveland. Cleveland has had a rotation of rookie quarterbacks come in, from Brandon Whedon to Manziel to even Baker. And they're still trying to get, you know, their legs under them as a franchise, because of the fact that they haven't had a stable quarterback for I don't know how long.
Yeah, same with like the Jaguars and things like that.
Right. So. Right.
Okay.
I know Josh wouldn't want Justin Fields though, because you know he,
no. If it's not Trevor Lawrence or like you said, Zach Wilson, I don't want to touch him. No.
Why not Justin? Why not?
Because he's black.
No. I want a legit question from y'all. I mean, answer from y'all. What is Justin Fields doing differently than what JT Barrett did, than what Troy Smith did, than what Cordell Jones did? What is he doing differently than those other quarterbacks did?
He's not turning the ball over as much as JT Barrett did.
Ha!
JT Barrett was a walking turnover.
But Troy Smith wasn't.
Troy Smith wasn't making game-breaking plays.
He won the Heisman.
But come on, let's be honest. Who really remembers the fact that he was a Heisman winner? There really wasn't more competition that year. You want to go back? We can go back to that year. We can go back to that year. He won the Heisman, but he was also what, a 6th-round draft pick?
Yeah, yeah, which is crazy. Yeah, won the Heisman, and then he was like a 5th, 6th-round pick. But my thing with Justin, what is he doing against good competition? His best competition this year was what, Indiana? Indiana
really going to use this year over the
okay, we saw last year. We saw what he did when they played Clemson. When J.K. Dobbs went out in that game, Justin was pedestrian.
So now he's not a good quarterback.
He never
was.
You just wow. See this?
See, we already.
I don't know, Jess.
Okay.
Hate black quarterbacks.
No.
He's Michael Vick.
He's a good talent, but he's not what y'all think he is. Even when at Georgia, that year he was at Georgia, he came in and mop up dude against Auburn. He didn't look ready then.
He wasn't ready then.
Absolutely. He's not what y'all think he is, man. I don't want him here. I don't.
Because he's black. That's why.
He transferred.
It wasn't that. Which I feel
was a smart decision because there's no way in hell you was gonna play over Jake.
But if you knew what you was getting into when you signed up, like you literally saw Jake take this team to the national title, and you think you gonna come in and start over him? What sense does that make?
So you did. So okay, but you didn't oppose bringing them on though, did you? You didn't oppose bringing them on though, did you?
No, but at that time, I'm thinking he's going to be like, okay, yeah, I'm not going to play that much this year. But after Jake leaves, this is my show. I'm thinking he's going to come in with that type of attitude.
He's trying to get to the league, man. He was trying to get to the league, man. That's the reason why he left, man.
That's why. Go to Ohio State. Three guy. After you decommit from Pitt, go to Ohio State. Don't waste our time at Georgia.
Yeah, he's a 3-year guy. I don't think he was going to stay around for 4 years.
As a five-star quarterback, no.
So that's why I was like, I mean, like you said, I get what you're saying. I get what Josh is saying. But we all know that's the reason why, in my opinion, that's why I think he just was like, you know what? Okay, y'all going to stick with Jake? Cool. I'm going to holler at y'all because, you know, I'm just trying to get to the next level. So that's my reason, and that's, you know, that's my just my little 2 cents.
Right.
So, I watched like 3 this year, Marcus. How many did you watch?
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to put a bookmark on this conversation because what if the thing is, what's the worst that could happen? He could suck. Guess what? We'll get another high pick. Who's be sorry again? You know what I'm saying?
But I don't want that. Like, I want a championship, man. I do not want to.
I understand. I understand that, but that's most likely not going to happen next year.
Right. Next year.
No. I get that. But if we're draft, if we draft Justin, we're not winning a championship anytime soon.
How are you winning with Zach Wilson?
I would trust we're winning one with him than Justin.
There's no logic to that. What is the logic?
He doesn't like
again. Yes, Justin is balling in Big Ten, but again, he's not doing anything different than what we've seen from Haskins.
Come prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top-tier athletes in a respective sport. If NFL, choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup. If NBA, MLB, PGA, or esports, choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup. Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur. The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is. Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. If PGA, Thrive has new contests for each day of the tournament, Thursday only, Friday only, etc. So don't sweat your golfers ruining your weekend by not making the cut. Thrive has awarded over $1.3 million in prizes since launching in 2018. Use promo code DBNReport when you sign up today, and you will receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store, or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today.
Yes. So let me ask
you, how much did you know about Zach Wilson before this season?
I knew a little bit last year.
Please lie to the people.
No, I'm not lying. I knew very little about him last year.
So what has he done this year against elite competition?
He hasn't played elite competition. If we want to do that, I mean,
but you will want him though. The best team he's played this year is probably Coastal Carolina, and he struggled in that game. Now I love that. I do. I think he can. I think Zach can be a good quarterback at the next level.
That's what I'm saying. That's all that I'm saying. But I don't think Justin will be. That's all that I'm saying.
But why? But I think my point is, why would you say Justin won't? But you believe Zach will. I mean, Zach hasn't played nowhere near the level of competition that Justin's at.
I'm saying that Justin won't because again, he's doing nothing different than what we've seen that any other Ohio State quarterback has done for the last 10-12 years. He's doing the exact same thing. Put up body numbers against trash competition, and he's gonna be a first round pick.
You just don't trust Ohio State quarterbacks.
No.
Black quarterbacks. He does not trust.
No, I don't think they ever put up any good quarterback. So, name me one. Give.
Let me find that episode that we did where we had a come to Jesus on why Josh hates black quarterbacks. And it has to do with.
Yeah, you know, I pointed that out the other day on Twitter. Now I caught that trend too, dude. Like it's something about you being black.
No, I love Deshaun Watson. I love again Patrick Mahomes. I love Russell Wilson. I love Lamar. Y'all want me to like people like Cam Newton? He's not good. No, I'm not. I don't get excited when a quarterback runs around with his feet for like 50 yards. That's not
what does Lamar do?
That what Lamar do?
No, wait. Lamar showed me something last year. Again, he's having a bad year this year, but last year he went off. That's why I say I love Lamar because of last year too.
But Cam took his team to the Super Bowl and won
it. No. Cam had a top five defense, like two All Pros on his defensive team that year. It wasn't all Cam. It was a team effort with Carolina. That's another misconception with that team.
Win the MVP too,
because of his feet.
Did Lamar not have an MVP?
Look at his QB numbers that year. They were pedestrian. Pedestrian. Go look at him.
Let me ask you this.
Had better numbers than him. Yeah, Matt was ass.
Would you want Matt to have MVP numbers and we're 8-8, or have pedestrian numbers and we're in the Super Bowl? You know what the answer is. You want to be in the Super Bowl, so it doesn't matter what the numbers.
I want to beat it. I want to win it. That's the thing. I want to win.
Josh for Kelly Loeffler. So, anyways, with the draft. Eric, yeah, a lot of the fans are kind of split with their mindset, and I'm curious to your thoughts on this. So, of course, like me, I know the team is trash, mm-hmm. and I'm not particularly rooting for the Falcons to lose.
Right.
But if they do and we continue to trend up in the draft, I'm not mad. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So what is your attitude towards the mindset of, I guess, quote-unquote, tanking? Because it's not really tanking, but it's like, We have pieces on the team, like we said, with the offense, right? Infusing more talent is only going to help the team get better quicker. So, like, what are your thoughts on us having a potential top five pick versus winning essentially meaningless games?
I hate tanking. I hate everything about it. Okay. I'm a competitor, man. I play ball in high school and I play semi-pro. I never hit the field thinking like I'm going to purposely lose today. I hate
and I'm not saying we are. We're sorry enough to keep losing these games, but I mean,
yeah, I mean that's I don't expect them to win another game this year. Like this is their best shot of winning the game. Now I don't think they're going to go out next week and just lay down to the Bucks. They're probably going to play. They're probably going to play with some pride, but they're not going to win, in my opinion. But as far as fans who want them to like go out and shave points and tank on purpose, like nah, man, you not. Nobody's going to do that. I want anybody to sit here and say that they're going to stare Julio Jones in the eye and say, hey, bro, we got a chance to get a top five pick. Like, don't catch that ball today, please.
Yeah.
Not going to happen, man. These guys are, you know, a lot of these guys are competitors. These guys are millionaires, man. They're not going to go out there. No player takes the field thinking about possibly getting a better draft pick if we lose today.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I don't know fans that think that way, man. I ain't with that.
They ain't played, man. No, they was bench riding, man. You know how it go. That's what it is, man. And I feel you on that, cause man, I'm a poor sport, man. I want to win every game, man. So, you know, and if folks, you know, hate that, so be it. But I want to win, cause you know, you never know. You never know when you'll be back in a good situation. So. Yeah. You always want to take advantage of the now.
Right.
And I've been saying that for, man, too damn long, man, that, you know, going back to the Super Bowl, you know, folks was like, Reggie, how you know? I was like, man, we need to win now, man, because you never know, you know, what can happen. And sure enough, you see hindsight, what we see now.
Yeah.
You know, we looking like a disaster right now.
Yeah.
You know, we fell off in 4 years. So,
and tell you
how Yeah.
All the time. So,
you know, so I definitely agree with what you said on that.
I mean, you can make the argument by them still employing Dirk Cotter that we are tanking because he's terrible. But I definitely understand the sentiment. You definitely don't want to breed a culture like that of losing, but I just feel like the Falcons right now have no set culture. Like they tried to get the mantras, the whole fast and physical and chop wood and all that bullshit. But we really don't.
And you hit that on the head, man. That's, you know, that I said this a couple of weeks on the show, man. That doesn't faze me one bit, man. You can rah-rah all you want to, but it's what you do on the field. You know, we the fans see what's going on. So, you know, no matter how much Dan Quinn said, you know, we fast and physical, that team didn't play fast and physical like we, you know, like he said they would. So we you can't just tell us and expect us to believe it. Especially, you know, folks that play, you know, they're gonna say, man, nah, you just talking all out the backside of your backside, man. You know, you're not out there playing like you said you would, man. You know, quit playing with us. So that's how I feel right now. I'm just like, you know,
quite honestly, man, that actually goes on in the locker room more than a lot of fans think. Like, you know, you're gonna in a season like this, in team meetings or in locker room huddles, like you're gonna see those times where some players are giving side eyes to certain guys because they know who's not playing well, they know who's not stepping up, they know who's talking in the pregame, but when it's time to snap the ball, they're not making plays. So, you know, that goes on quite often, to be quite honest with you. Like that's just
Well, don't the good teams have veteran leadership that holds people accountable for that, though? Like, if that's happening in the Falcons locker room, like, who's going and saying, hey, man, you need to get your shit together? Like, you need to play better. You need to practice hard. You need to study film better. Because we don't have that person in the locker room, the kind of enforcer type person.
We don't. And I for quite some time, man, I felt like that locker room had a bunch of choir boys.
That sounds about the same.
Yeah.
You know, there's some talent there, but there's really nobody in that locker room
accountable.
Not even, I can't even say Julio is, because even to an extent, Julio was more of a quiet leader, I guess. You know, he leads by example. He doesn't really lead vocally. But there's really nobody in that locker room that's, you know, at halftime is going to get up in your grill and say, I need you to step up today.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that. And that's what's missing, honestly. They got a bunch of guys in there that are just they're quiet leaders.
Yeah.
That's what we've been saying. We've been saying that on this show for what, last few episodes?
Yeah.
It's really annoying. It's really, really, really annoying. Cause in every other fucking college and down, you have leadership and people that hold their players accountable. Like, I'm sure Shoe Boy from Florida got his ass jumped. You know what I'm saying? People are probably holding him accountable for throwing that goddamn shoe last night. So, like, I'm like, why isn't that happening in our locker room? Like, I know they're grown men and professional, but someone needs to step up. At least one fucking person on this team.
They uniquely put together a locker room that has a collection of those type of guys. I don't know how they did it, but I don't know if that's something that is part of their pre-draft process, where they look at players that are not necessarily those that are, you know, trying to outspeak coaches and stuff like that. But it was interesting to see over the years how they built up such a roster, from the offense to the defense, to where they have guys that really are not vocal leaders. I don't know how they did it, but you know, you go look at Pittsburgh. Cam Hayward is that type of guy. Yeah. Cam Hayward is going, you know, he's going to let you know you're not playing great. You know, you go back to the years of the Ravens defense, of course, with Ray Lewis as a vocal leader, Ed Reed as a vocal leader, like those guys. Even now with Calais Campbell will, you know, he'll step up in the locker room when the team is going through some bad times. But for years, man, they got a bunch of guys in there that are just, they're just boy scouts when it comes to personality, man. And that translates over to the field.
Exactly.
Where somebody needs to make a play and step up.
Everybody looking around. Yep.
That's what that translates to.
Yeah. And I thought we would actually have that type of leader in Debo. Like that year when we played the Rams, when him and Neil was in that tunnel, and Debo was like, they got to deal with us. I'm thinking he's going to eventually get to that type of leader. But like I said, he's not. He's – but Debo, he's had a subpar year. Like,
but when he turns it on, he turns it on.
Right, but we need that. Yeah. We need that when we're winning and when we're losing. Like, again, this is a loss season. We already knew that, but still lead by your play. His play has been, like he's looking like you can Duke Riley out there sometimes.
You can tell he coasted a bit after that 0-5 start. He was like, man, this ain't it. You can tell it was in his play. He wasn't running. You know, he wasn't hitting the hole fast enough. He wasn't making his freeze fast enough. He was, you know, missing plays that he normally does. And it wasn't the fact that he was really hurt or banged up. He's just, like I said, you can tell his attitude was different. But ironically, it changed when Morris got in. I'm not saying that might be something between him and Quinn. I don't know. But ironically, when Morris became interim head coach, he started playing a lot better.
I told y'all it was a conspiracy. I told y'all, remember? I said it.
But man, you know, at this point, man, that doesn't that get tiresome when you see you have to redo all this over again, man? You know, even can we say the same about the Smitty era? Did y'all think we had a veteran leadership there?
Well, yeah, I mean, Smitty loved vets, so like that. I said, like, his first few years,
No.
Well, I was gonna say, we had Lawyer Malloy.
That was early, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But once we got rid of him, I say we probably had that void of,
yeah,
I mean, maybe Roddy. I don't know. Maybe.
Roddy ain't great.
But I love, he was a trash talker. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a trash talker. Yeah. Roddy wasn't the greatest speaker. Yeah. But yeah, I honestly couldn't say that they had it then, too. Like, even guys like Sean Witherspoon, you know, guys that you looked at like, hey, he brings the attitude. But I mean,
stay healthy.
He's not matching up with his play. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree, man. And that's why I'm like, man, it's just tiresome, man. We have to do this after every coaching regime, man. It's like, man, that's where we lack at stability. And you know, yep. If somebody got to, you know, just put a stop to it. And that means going up to the top above the coaches and the front office. So, you know, who I'm pointing at, I'm starting at Mr. Blank. So, I mean, you know, I'm not blaming him, but at the same time, he does have to have some kind of criticism for these guys. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. That's just me, man. But
he has to have some kind of blame for what has happened over the past few years, right? Like, I mean.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He can't avoid these bullets, too. Like, it's just.
Oh, yeah. No, no doubt.
Come on, man. Like, you literally ran it back after the team went 1-7 last year.
And made that stupid video explaining your stupid fucking decision. Yeah. Oh my god, that video pissed me off so bad.
You got to catch some heat too, man. Like you brought all this back. You literally said, "I'm gonna base my decision on the second half of the season, and we're gonna run it completely back all the way."
But I kind of see why he did it because that run that Super Bowl run. He saw, okay, Quinn took over the defense, yada, yada, yada. They started playing better. We take off and go to the Super Bowl. Okay, if I run him back and give him a clean slate with a full year, maybe he could do it again. So I could kind of see why he ran back with Quinn this year.
So
but I agree, it wasn't smart.
I like
why he did it.
I listened to a podcast earlier this week that involved, you know, Steve Weiss, and he was talking a little bit about the Falcons head coaching search and their GM search. And one thing he pointed out was, you know, you really can compare the first half of Blank's tenure as owner to now. Now, the first half of the tenure, there was no tolerance. Look how quick he got rid of Jim Moore. After Jim Moore took them to the NFC title game, he got rid of them, got rid of him very quickly. You know, he was, when it came to, you know, Bobby Petrino and his garbage ass, you know, he wasn't putting up with that either. But now he has a lot more of an emotional tie to the team, and it translates over to him not really seeing the bad when it's quite obvious. You know, that was a bad year last year. But he still hung through with it for some reason. I don't know why, because he just couldn't find himself letting a guy like Dan Quinn go, even though it was probably the best decision for him to do so. I think Dan Quinn does the same thing, man. Hey, you can tell Quinn and Dimitroff, they were trying to do anything possible to not move on from Tack McKinley, to not move on from Big Beasley. Hung on the players that these guys are bad. Like, just and I think that type of attitude started from Blank on down. Like, they have this emotional tie to the team where they can't move on for some reason. It's so hard.
I think the reason why Quinn didn't really want to move on from Vic initially, because I think this is my very first pick of my head coaching tenure. This is my baby, basically, in a sense. So I don't want to move on. And the coaches have ego. So if he's saying, okay, I got to cut Vic, then that's going to show other people that, hey, you were wrong on this pick. Like, and that, again, with a coach, he don't want to look bad in front of his peers or whatever.
Right.
So that's why I say it took them a minute for them to be like, okay, Vic, you got to go.
Well, shoot, man. He had to really do that because Vic was making his own self, you know, not to go back on that time, man. He was just making his own self look bad out there.
I agree too.
He was. And then for him to turn around and give him that fifth year option, like, that was unexplainable.
That is true.
Okay, man. Anything to do with whatever management firm or whatever they was working with, is, come on, man.
Yeah. Like,
how the hell does he earn it? How does he earn $13 million?
He didn't, man. Some people say he's gonna help be like a youth minister at his church, whatever church Vic is trying to start up.
Man. But, But Eric, to your point,
do that without robbing the Falcons, though. I mean,
right, exactly. But Eric, to your point, I think Blank is kind of getting back to that no nonsense type of thing, because even with his comments about the new head coach of GM, when they brought up Matt, he was just like, "Well, it's up to them, basically. If Matt is still gonna be here, it's not like him."
He didn't know. Yeah, you're right. He didn't really tie himself to Matt.
Right.
Like you thought an owner would.
Exactly. Especially the one that actually took you to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah. So maybe he is turning that corner to like, you know what? I got to take out emotion when it comes to this scene.
I look at it this way. I felt, and I'm pretty sure you guys probably feel the same way. I think the Dallas game was a fireable offense.
Yeah.
And I get it. It was week two. It was early in the season. There's a lot more football to play. But that is intolerable, dude. Like, you saw what happened in the Super Bowl. They started off 1-7 last year. And then for them to lose a game like that against Dallas and for him to not move on, it raised a lot of questions with me. And, you know, the snowball just kept rolling down the hill for him. And then they ended up starting off 0-5. And at that point, I felt like, okay, if we see a change, it's probably going to happen during the bye week, because that's something Blank, he doesn't like the headlines.
Right.
I give him credit to the point where, you know, he made that move after week five, after that 0-5 start. But I looked at him after that Dallas game and I said, man, what are you doing? Like, this is terrible. It is awful the way they're losing. They come back against Chicago the next week and lose that way. And you're still allowing this to go on? Like, Yeah, I had a problem with that. I really did. You gotta do those type of moves if you're an owner, man. Forget the headlines. Yeah. Headlines are gonna come anyway.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah, man. If he don't get rid of Rich, then I know something.
He's gotta be done with Rich.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes back to what I said last week, man. He got what he wanted out of Rich. New stadium. So
right.
You know, is it now? This is the part where you can just say, all right, I'll holler at you, man. You know, I don't need you no more. So
Rich's position as a president, it takes away a lot of the on-field responsibilities for him. So I don't know if he's gonna stay on board with Rich in that capacity, because if you recall, you know, Rich didn't really deal with personnel. Maybe he stays with that and just says, hey, Rich, you're the president. Let the GM, let the coaching staff, let them do their thing. He might go that way. But there is a growing notion around the league that, you know, a lot of guys may not want to work with Rich McKay. And I can understand why. He hasn't, you know, he doesn't really have a great reputation as a GM, as a guy that ran a team. And I feel in this certain situation right here, I think if you keep him on and give him a certain type of capacity where it comes to signing off on personnel moves, I don't think that's going to be a wise deal either. You know, if you're going to scrub the team from the top, man. Don't just – that means Rich got to go too.
Yeah.
He got to go.
He got to go too.
Look, that man, people have been calling him the devil. Hey.
I don't necessarily trust him as a GM, and I hope the team realizes that also.
I hope so too, because I just can't. I need everybody to go.
Everybody is gone. The only person that we really don't know is Rich McKay. But everybody else underneath that, if you're not a contract player, you're more than likely gone. From the entire coaching staff is gone too. Like, everyone is going.
So, who are your favorites to come in? Who would y'all want to see as head coach?
I said Joe Brady.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, well, you know, our strength is offense right now. So, I was like, you know, why not just stick with that and get somebody who can actually groom this offense some more, man? Because, like I said, you know, that all our pieces are tied in onto offense.
Okay.
Let's just go that route. You know, we tried the defensive side for the last two coaches. So, you know, it doesn't, at this point, man, it doesn't hurt to try anymore. let's just go for it, man. So that's who I was going. Either BME or Joe, mostly Joe Brady though. You know,
why
Joe because Brady? I've seen why? Yeah. Because you know, he studied under Sean Payton. We all know that. And mm-hmm. then of course seeing what he did with
LSU last ticket, year.
And I was like, you know, before tonight's game with I was like, man, imagine him and Matt in the same, you know, running the offense. I think, you know, we could do some special things with Matt and Joe Brady, you know. So that's why I was, you know, always on his board.
So the first time young head coach 1 year as an offensive coordinator don't scare you guys?
Okay. I mean, we got to start somewhere, or we're going to get retreads, or like again, I don't want to go to defensive coach route again because we did it twice and we still could have filled a competent defense. So it's like how many times are we going to do it?
Why not? Oh, okay. All right. Let me ask y'all this question: are y'all believers in the fact that I guess an offensive head coach, offensive minded head coach, is the better decision for a team? Because I mean. I know you can sit here and say like, hey, stick to the strips, but
I mean, I would say yes in a sense because again, the Eagles head coach, what's his name again? Doug Peterson.
Doug Peterson.
Yeah, does he have an offensive background?
Yeah.
Okay. And we got Andy Reid.
Sean McDermott in Buffalo as the defensive background.
Yeah, but again, their offense just matched the defense this year. Like last year, Josh Allen wasn't playing like this. So I would rather just kickstart our strength and just bring in the coach from there. Like okay. how Reggie just said.
Brian Flores in Miami has a defensive background.
I don't know.
With this, right? Like, I'm just like I really don't see much. I think it's just.
I mean, right? It's just,
no, I get what you're saying, but again, Mike Smith, he came from the Ravens. We thought, okay, a guy with Ed Reed, Ray Lewis.
I didn't think that.
I was thinking, okay, he's going to get us a decent defense for a change. That's why I was thinking. I didn't think, okay, he's going to get us another Ed Reed, Ray Lewis. I'm thinking, okay, we're finally going to have a decent defense. And then we've got Quinn. We're like, okay, we're going to get a decent defense because this guy just came from Seattle.
Yeah.
So it's like we keep going this defensive head coach route, and it still flames out, and it bites us in the ass.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Look, I don't know. I don't pay attention to that shit, okay? Give me somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing. Okay,
but that's what it all boils down to, man. You know, if like I said, I mean, yeah, Joe Brady is my preference, but at the same time, man, like I'm at this point in my life, I just want consistency, man. Like
that's it.
I don't want to be we the Falcons are consistently inconsistent. I've been saying this for a long time, man. I don't want to be that no more, man. We shouldn't have to be that like that anymore. So I want a guy who, you know, yeah, if it has to be an offensive guy, so be it. If it has to be a defensive minded guy, so be it. But from top to bottom, man, I really want a tough team, a team that can grind it out, you know, with grit. You know, I don't care about pretty wins. There's no, you know, it can be a pretty win, ugly win. I don't care. A win is a win in this league.
Exactly.
All I want mainly is to be able to say that we have a tough team, and then eventually, hopefully, somewhere down the road, we can host a Lombardi, man. That's mainly my reason, man, because I really want to see how it feels to be a world champion. I know we all do, but
listen,
you know, we're not getting there with what's going on right now. So yeah, if it's a guy that can actually go out there, manage the clock, put his players in best position,
right,
you know, get off the field on third down, I'm with it, man. I don't care who. I just want to win. Like I'm like win now, right? Been like that for a while. So
look, yeah. When we ever win a Lombardi, even if I'm 80 fucking years old, there is a high chance I will go streaking down North Side Drive.
Nobody's going to be.
Yeah, we don't want to see that, man. I would call the police myself. We don't want to see that.
But yeah, I just feel like we just against the clock, man. Like I said, it goes back to me. That went back to me going back to Super Bowl year. You know, folks thought I was crazy. It's like, man, nah. You know, we, you know, you just, I just got a gut feeling, man. We, you know, it's just stuff that's going to happen that, I mean, I'm not talking crazy or nothing. I'm just saying, you know, we don't know where we'll be in the next 2-3 years. So, like, let's just go ahead and get the ball rolling. So that's just my philosophy, man.
You were correct, but some fucking loser decided to lose it all for us for a quarterback that's injured right now.
No, he benched him. He benched him. He's not injured. He just benched him.
Well, good.
Because his ass too.
Everything you did to us is gonna come back to you tenfold, you fucking bastard.
And he lost again today.
In these streets.
Y'all really have it out for Kyle.
Yes.
Fuck you.
He cannot come to the state of Georgia anymore. I don't care if he has a game here. He cannot come here.
Beat his ass. And whoever comes.
Oh, who's more welcome, him or Bobby Petrino?
I'll take Shanahan is welcome. I know Josh and Lethal are against it.
Nope.
But Bobby Petrino cannot step across, cross any Bobby Georgia line, man.
Kick my ass, man.
Bobby can take us to the Super Bowl and then just all of a sudden start calling bullshit.
Man,
so
Bobby Petrino will always.
Stand in the locker room and say, "Hey, bro, I'm leaving."
Yeah, that's a sucker move.
He didn't do the same thing.
Shanahan took a job after a great year.
Great year, yeah.
That's what offensive coordinators do.
No. That's what offensive coordinators here that come here do. They get 1 or 2 good years from Matt, then they just run off.
Leave us.
Next coaching gig. I hate that. Stop using Matt.
But you know, Shanahan been trying to be a head coach for a while, though.
For a long time. He's trying to follow his
Fuck him. Honestly, if he played his cards right, he could have been coaching his head coach of the scene.
Hey
if they would have won a Super Bowl, Quinn would have had a statue downtown and he would have been the coach for the next.
Yeah, he would have got a lifetime.
They would have never got rid
of him. Yep, he would have got a lifetime extension. Yep, exactly.
I don't blame Shanny, but for a head coach to write a letter to players and saying, "I'm leaving," but in Arkansas. That rubbed me the wrong way. I can't stand him.
But not Shanahan saying, "Oh, I didn't want to run the ball because I didn't like the way Free was hitting the hole." That don't rub you the wrong way.
Oh, I'm mad. No, I'm upset about that.
And losing a playbook. Who loses the playbook?
Well, still though, even though he lost it, we put 28 points on.
We put 21. We put 21 because Robert had to pick 6. And then on top of that, not only does he lose the playbook, after we lose that game, this man goes and meet up with Belichick 2-3 weeks later to go over what he did wrong in that game. Like, who the fuck does that?
Now that part I agree. I mean, that you know what you did wrong, but
I was spitting in that face if I ever did.
Shanahan can go to hell.
And all quit a job in that some form of fashion. I mean, I've written emails and letters. Let me hush because I'm applying for jobs right now.
But then again, you know, this is different, you know. The league is different, man. You know, everybody can't, you know, you can't compare these to average Joe Jobs. So
he didn't even ride out the entire season.
He didn't.
He just rolled out the final three games.
I understand that he's a quitter, But for the fact that all the BS that Shanahan did towards the end of his career here, I can't rock with that. I cannot. Like Lethal said, you lose your playbook on media night. You meet up with the coach that handed you the biggest choke job in Super Bowl history to go over what you did wrong. And on top of that, it wasn't like Shanahan wasn't going to eventually get a head coaching job. He was going to get one if he stuck with Matt and Julio. You're going to get a head coaching job because that's what they do. Matt and Julio are going to give you a head coaching job. They did it for Dirk. They did it for Matt did it for Mike Mularkey. You're going to get a head coaching job. Just stick it out, win a championship, and stick it out for a few years, and then jet off. That's all that I'm saying.
Yeah, Shanahan gets blamed, but also the guy who hired him, added him on to his roster. I mean, I'm pretty sure you heard the same call as Shanahan was giving it out, man. You could have did a better job. And that's where the end for Dan Quinn came with me, man. Because I was like, man, you could have overrid that, man.
The head coach that has never stepped in and said, hey, that's not what we're doing.
Yeah, that's why I say
if I hire you to do a particular job, why do I need to override you?
I'm trusting you,
like you said, you put up 21 points. We balling. We killing these boys. I'm trusting you to continue to do what you're doing.
If you are OC and I'm the head coach and we're in the Super Bowl and you calling BS plays, I'm coming to you. I'm saying, bruh, run the football.
I don't care
what you want to call, run the football.
If my quarterback is saying that, why do I need to come and reiterate what he's saying to you already? But you hear the quarterback saying, "Why are we running the ball?"
And then,
but you know, it's a trickle down effect, though, because
Matt says,
I'm saying Shanahan hears Matt Ryan, "Why are we running the ball?" Why does Quinn need to come to Shanahan and say, "Oh, we need to run the ball"? If we hear the quarterback saying, "Why are we running the ball?"
Because obviously they wasn't running the ball, so I guess he needed to hear a second voice saying, "Bruh."
Get a second
one, man.
If I gotta take the playbook out your hand and take your headset off, I will. But
yeah,
run the damn football. I'm the head coach.
Yeah,
this is gonna be that one game where I'm gonna step on your toes.
Exactly. Like you got them this far, but you see everything messing up, like starting, and you see the Patriots have the momentum. So why are you still trying to stop? And you know,
defense getting tired. If I'm Dan Quinn, I become the offensive coordinator. Give me the playbook. I got it. I'll call it from here on out. Run the football. I'm just saying.
So that's why I say, you know, everybody hates Shanahan for it, but at the same time, it goes above him too. Like, you know, you got to, as a head coach, sometimes you're gonna have to just use that override power, man. Especially like Eric said, in a situation as this, this is the biggest game of your life.
That's what makes the whole thing even more crazy. Because again, it's like Shanahan is this genius when it comes to offense, but when it comes to situational football, you can't just run the fucking ball to milk this clock in the most basic aspect of this game.
And that's probably why he did it in San Francisco, because he had nobody tell him no. So
no, that's what he is. He's a choker. He's a choker. And it rubs off on us. Hey,
but at the same time, man, you know, like Eric said, going back, the defense is gas, man. There's no need to go out there and do a quick three and out.
I agree.
So at some point, you got to look at the clock and see, and you know, you got to keep a mental image in your head, man, as to where you are in the game. Like, yeah, man, my defense out there just gasping for air, man. Yeah, that's all. I mean, but that's all it boils down to, and that's why I said Dan Quinn had to go, and of course Shanahan was leaving by default. So
even as an expiring head coach like him, like, those are the little things you should be looking at to see. Like,
yeah.
like, okay, I see our defense is struggling right now. So let me make this conscious decision right here to say, hey, you know what? We're gonna pound the ball today.
Exactly.
That's what head coaches do. I mean, yeah. I guarantee Belichick got in McDaniel's ear and said, hey, dude,
this
is what we're doing. I don't care what you say. I don't care what Tom says. This is what we're doing.
Right.
And look, for everyone who's listening, all right, let us know if you're Team Lethal and Josh on this situation or Team Reggie and Eric. Clearly, you're going to be Team me and
y'all,
Josh.
Y'all mad at the guy that brought the best season in Atlanta.
Exactly.
I can do without that as long as we hold the Super Bowl trophy. I don't care if it's the best season. As long as it ends with a Super Bowl ring. I don't care if we just – seventh best offense in NFL history. I don't care for that. Look, we could be the damn 12th best offense of that year. Look, we hosting that Lombardi at the end of the year. That's all that matters to me.
Y'all.
No, ain't no ring on this finger.
I mean, but again, it's not. Yeah, again, it's solely not on Shanahan though. So yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
He gets a healthy portion of the blame, but it's not on him.
He gets 65. How about that?
95%.
95%.
What did I just say? Did I just say 95%?
If Dan Quinn getting 5% of that blame, then something wrong, man.
Now. We got crazy people talking. Well, they are all crazy. All right, Julio and these injuries.
People now
want him on. They want him out. They just asked for him to get that big ass extension, and now they want him gone.
That's
injured.
That's why it took me a minute to come on, because my brother and my cousin, they were texting like, "Oh," my cousin was like, well, "Julio just quit on y'all." Like he, one, we didn't even give this man proper rest to heal his hammy. Then we played him again, and it got worse. Like, he cannot – you. I would say a hammy, give him at least a good month, and then see what happens.
There's three injuries that can literally linger for an entire year. A concussion, hamstring
– and a groin.
Those things can linger for 16 games, and you cannot play around with it. Like, you can – he did it. He got out there. He gutted it out last week. But it obviously wasn't healed. Like, that's just it. Honestly, man, that man hamstring probably won't be healed into the offseason.
Exactly.
So
– because we waited so late to actually rest him.
Yeah.
And then the fact that Raheem was saying –
how many times has Julio even had a full 16-game season?
Well, that's another thing, too. That's what my brother and my cousin were saying. They was like, well, we got to pay Julio $20 million a year. When was the last time he played a full season?
You're paying $20 million a year. You're best receiver in the league. When healthy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm just used to the fact that he's not going to play 16 games.
Yeah,
right.
And that's the thing, you know. I'm like, we've been conditioned, even when he came into the league, you know, you saw it, but you didn't see
him his rookie year.
But yeah, you know. And then as the years went on, you just like, oh, well, you know, we expect this, you know. Yeah. But as long as he goes out there and perform, which he does when he's, like you said, when he's healthy, he goes out there, and of course. Don't let him get to the playoffs, because you know he turned on God mode. You know,
he turned
on sliders. Yeah,
and that's literally what I was.
My bad. I'm sorry, John. I didn't mean to cut you, but that's my issue right there. I was like, man, go ahead. I just like, man, I just want to get. That's all I wanted for us to do, to get Julio to the playoffs, because we know what's gonna happen when he get to the playoffs. Damn, the injury.
Exactly.
He's gonna go out there and kill everybody.
Exactly. And that's what my cousin said. He's like, well, over the last 3 years, he has like 17 touchdowns. But I'm like, okay, so do you think really is a better receiver? Because he has more touchdowns over the last 3 years than Julio. And my thing is, like, again, like how you said, Reggie, if we get Julio in the playoffs, he's going to score more often than not in the playoffs than he does in the regular season. Because again, he turns up a notch in the playoffs. Huh. But again, like how Eric said, we're so accustomed to now, I feel like, okay, Julio may miss one or two games a year. Whoop-de-doo. That's where we're at with him.
Yeah.
But again, if we get to the playoffs, he going to kill whoever is out there. Grab, check it. And then my brother or my cousin was like, well, we're paying him all this money and he doesn't make the catch that we need him to make at times. But it's like, okay, if you're going to base that one, that Eagles game off of this, that's crazy because again, one, it was a dumb play call. And then two, okay, that's one catch out of how many times Julio been dominated in the playoffs?
The Eagles game from last year when he caught the bubble screen and took it to the house, take the lead.
I guess the way he worded it was like in playoffs or whatever. But my thing is like Julio shows up more often than not in the playoffs.
I've never been in that situation in the playoffs where he had to make that type of catch because he's killing. He's killing cats. He didn't need to make that catch when they up 35-0 against the Packers. I don't understand. Like if that's what it's based on, then what are we doing? He don't need to be putting up 300 yards on
defense. Yeah. But that's why I say his regular season at the, like you said, at this point in his career, regular season, I don't care about the regular season no more. I just want to just do everything. If Julio has to sit the whole regular season or play at least about 3 or 4 games, you know, get him in his game shape.
Yeah.
I don't care. Just get him and we're in playoff contention, man. Just give me enough to make sure he's available for that first playoff game. So I'm at this point in my life or in his career where I could say, oh, he don't need to prove anything to anybody. You know, everybody hates on him because he doesn't make enough touchdowns. I mean, hell, shit. You can't make a touchdown if you triple team, double team, and all in the end zone when everybody knows that you are an obvious threat to them on the
Why does he need to call the touchdown when Calvin on the other side? That's the thing.
But that's the thing. Like I said, it doesn't matter to me. You know, when people bring up touchdown, I'm like, man, he did enough. His body of work shows that. I don't care what happens. You know, he's established himself. He's an established guy. So,
right.
You know, y'all can miss me with that, with the touchdowns and all that. You know, right. Michael Tump, all that. So.
Number one all time in yards per game.
Yeah.
Still the only receiver that has 250 plus receiving yards.
Exactly.
And like me and Josh said a couple of weeks ago, the man only 3,000 yards from being number 3 to T.O. On the all-time list. So, come on now. And it's attainable. The only thing you have to do is keep him healthy. That's the only thing.
That shows how great he is. With all the games that he's missed, this man is 3,000 yards away from being third all-time in receiving yards. That alone should just show you how great he is. But, again, since we're losing – like people just want
everything to turn on comes
bad. Yo, everything is all bad. Sure. Everybody needs to go. Yada yada yada.
He's the only receiver in NFL history to have 6 consecutive 1,400-yard seasons. Nobody else.
Come prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top tier athletes in a respective sport. If NFL, choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup. If NBA, MLB, PGA, or esports, choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup. Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur. The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is. Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. If PGA, Thrive has new contests for each day of the tournament. Thursday only, Friday only, etc. So don't sweat your golfers ruining your weekend by not making the cut. Thrive has awarded over $1.3 million in prizes since launching in 2018. Use promo code DBNReport when you sign up today and you will receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store or by visiting their website www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today.
Oh,
But you know, but folks like to pick and choose what they want to be mad about. So that's where that's the irritating part, though. So
last week it was Julio, people was turning on him. This week it's Matt. Next week it may be someone different. I mean, this is what we have to expect when we have a losing season that we have this like how we have now.
He still can get 1,000-yard season this year. He has 707 yards.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Honestly, I mean, he could, but at this point, man, I don't want to see him. I just want to, you know, like I said, he doesn't have to prove anything to me no more. He done everything that he possibly could do. So,
They want to sit him. That's fine. I understand.
And it's also, I think it started, you know, because, you know, I remember I said a few weeks ago, you know, in a year or two, with GM, the new GM, when they open up these contracts, look at these contracts. You remember I said this on the podcast last time, you know, I think folks kind of ran with it. You know, I was like, I don't think Julio is going to retire with one team. That's just my opinion. I think he does eventually play with one more team before he does call it quits. But, you know, I think when I said that, I think people kind of ran with it and kind of said that, oh, you know, Reggie, you know, it's like, oh man, get rid of Julio. Nah, I didn't say get rid of him, but at the same time, it's a realistic point. You know, there's going to probably come a time when they'll be like, well, you know, especially looking at his injuries, they're going to say, well, dang, you know, they're not thinking like us. They're going to be like, well, dang, you know, he hasn't been on the field for a guy who's supposed to be our number one.
Exactly.
You know, so I'm like, man, look, I don't want him to go. But at the same time, I realistically, you know, we see it happen. You know, there's very few players in the league that actually stick with their one team. So same for Matt. You know, I don't want Matt to go. But, you know, they're facing against time, or in this case, you know, their performance is not matching up with, you know, how they're getting paid. That's the way I'm thinking. And they're going to eventually be like, well, you know, as soon as we can ease some of this cap hit off, we might rethink your position, you know, and see what we can do with that. So, yeah, that's just my little 2 cents. But at the same time, man, I don't want Julio to go.
Well, I guess I think we can say a lot of that depends on what happens next year, right?
Yeah.
When it comes go ahead, man. They have enough of a makeup where a coach can come in and say, hey, there's enough here for me to win now. I mean, I got a veteran quarterback. Yeah. I got a nice duo at receiver. I got a veteran with offensive line. I got a couple guys on defense that I can roll with. Like, I can fix a few things here and there. We can win 10 games next year and get back into the playoff picture. I think a lot of that may depend on that. Like, Julio may actually see it and say, hey, we're really not that far. And to be quite honest with you, I mean, I know getting a new head coach and GM is a great task and responsibility, but they're really not that far away from being a playoff team.
We're in the playoff talks right now. We at company coaching right now.
Yeah.
So if we get a legit coach, I feel like we're back in the picture next year. I feel like that.
I feel that way too. I mean, of course, there still needs to be some personnel changes.
Right, exactly. But,
and that's the first and foremost thing. What happens after that last game, going into the offseason? Who do we pick? And who do that head coach pick for his staff? So that's where I'm like, that's the biggest thing coming up right now is who Arthur Blank picks as his head coach, and who do the head coach pick as his staff members to make this team, because we definitely can do it. We just gotta. It just depends on who we getting on the personnel wise.
I mean, I think there's a few names that you know we can for sure say is probably not around next year. You know, I think Ricardo Allen is one of those guys.
Oh yeah, you can't say his name. We don't say his name. We just say 37.
They don't.
I'm not saying his name, man. You're right. He's definitely on my list of gone.
So. Yes. Yeah.
Rico, no. I still love you. Okay, forget them. All right.
I mean, you still love him. I like him as a person.
He's
but
just back there. He's not contributing to the defense in any shape, form, or fashion, man.
Like, we can't have any emotion. Do you want to win, or do you want to just be a fan of liking players? You know, we want to win. But see, that's the part of realism of having to, you know, have to face the music, man. Because
right,
you know, I don't, I will. You know, I want to win. You know, so
I'll face the music. I'm just not ready today.
No, it's to the point where it's like I see why Smitty just had Rico on the practice squad because what is he doing? Like he had that one year or 1.5 year.
He a long time ago.
Long time ago. He came out of nowhere, Pete, and then now he just back to being trash.
I don't see it, man. With the type of responsibilities that he has on this defense, you need a guy, honestly, that needs to be a difference maker. You need a guy that can really flip a game because you're talking about a position that you're going to see plenty of single high safety look, and you're really going to have to have the athletes both from South at the drop of the hat. And I can't get if they were playing a scheme that incorporates a lot of, you know, deep 2-half coverage, yeah, he might be serviceable. But no, man, I need a guy back there that is gonna he's gonna make quarterbacks, you know, second guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it just sucks. I think Rico would be a great coach too.
He might be, but we don't need him as a player.
I agree.
And last week,
ambassador or something like that. Like, yeah.
Man, so last week someone asked me why I'd be making faces at stuff that I shouldn't be making faces at. It's not about what they're saying. It's about what Marcus is saying in the comments.
Right.
So I read the comments while they're talking to see what I should put on the screen. And he says the most asinine shit. So that's what most of my faces are, reading his fucking comments while they're talking. So Marcus, get off of here. I just told him I was going to unban him. And now I just
can't wait till the Colts lose if they make the playoffs.
Marcus
is a little troll, man.
Yeah, Marcus is a troll. He's a Colts fan and a Falcons fan.
Don't worry, man. Phillip Rivers is going to let you down in the playoffs, though. Don't worry about
that. Yeah, just get him, Eric.
Don't worry about that. I'm just waiting. Phillip Rivers will have him over the playoffs.
I don't fucking wolf you right now, okay? You're getting on my nerves. In these comments. All right. So next week we have a game, and shout out to whoever this is. I'm not 100% sure how I'm supposed to say your name, but whoever you are, you've been in these comments like this whole time. So shout out to you, and you're a Bucks fan. All right. We're going to answer your question. No.
They're gonna get their teeth kicked in.
Man. Yeah, I'm afraid. Like Rojo, he may have like 150 on this, honestly.
Yeah, Matt gonna have. I think Matt might have another worst game this week.
That O line's gonna get killed.
That defensive line.
Yeah, then that's why I'm like, I think
we might as well start shop, honestly.
If they thinking folks is gonna be mad today, wait the next week.
That'd be like a feast on the O-line come next week.
Yeah, and you see what they did today to Minnesota. Yeah, man.
And they started off slow against Minnesota, so they really could be on our ass come next week.
Yeah, and that's sad. That's sad to say, but hey.
ESPN Gamecast that one, dog. Like, I'm gonna watch that one. That's gonna be ugly. Yeah. And then 2 weeks from now, you know, they got that road game in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Oh, but. I think Kansas City, they clinched their division today. Hopefully next week they get the number one seed, and then
they need to clinch home field. And if they clinch home field, then they'll probably rest. But I don't know who they got. They have New Orleans next week, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to rest against us. because that's week, 16? They still have week 17. And then with that time off with the number one seed, they're not going to rest against us. Hopefully they play a half with the starters and then sit them.
Man, shoot. Man, I'll put the B team on us in 2 weeks, man, for real. And it's sad to say, but, yeah, man, I'd rather do them. If I was the Chiefs, I'm resting them after the Saints game.
I don't know if I'm ready to see Kendall Sheffield get matched up deep with Tyreek. I don't think I'm ready.
Man. Then you got to worry about Miko. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tyreek going to smoke, man. They both, him and Miko might have a party on the defense this week. I mean,
The Georgia boys, Georgia Native
boys. Yeah, with Tyreek, both of them from.
Yeah, they're going to kill the home team.
Bro. Yeah, man.
G-Money's putting money on the Falcons to win.
Man.
God bless, brother. Yeah, man. God bless on that.
Y'all don't know who G-Money is?
Nah.
That's South Breeze.
Oh.
Yeah, that's South Breeze. You know he be tripping sometimes.
Don't do that. Don't put that
back.
Yeah, man. Okay, three more weeks and we out of here, man. Three more weeks.
I think the offseason is gonna be a lot more exciting.
Yeah, and that's sad, and that's where I'm like really where I'm at right now, man. I'm just like, I'm ready to just see what the offense, offseason is going to bring, because that is the most intriguing storyline right now that we have.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see if y'all out there are going to watch this game. Let us know. I don't know if I'm going to watch it, especially with my fucking streams acting up all the time. You know, like, we're just going to pray. We just need to have a prayer session before. Prayer session, universe session, you know, whatever you're into.
We're going to need the entire KC team to contract the COVID, okay? Outside of that, it's not going to be a good look.
They've been through all year. Ain't there's no prayer that's going to save this team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because as we see, Raheem is just as incompetent as DQ is.
This has been a historic season, the way that they lost these games. They ain't no
way. Yeah.
It's crazy. Josh, you need to answer Marcus's question. Yeah. If he asks this again next week.
I wear dad hats, okay? They're one size all. I'm not wearing a straw hat, Marcus, okay? So pick another hat.
Josh lost a bet to Marcus. Oh, and now he has to wear a Colts hat.
I told him that I wasn't gonna eat any more sweets for the rest of the year. So on Thanksgiving, I had like, we could say, the equivalent of two full sweet potato pies.
Jesus.
Wait, hold on. You ate two pies by yourself?
Maybe.
Damn, bro.
Look, man, I love sweet potato pie, man. Okay, like it was there. You know, you remember the Jamie Foxx episode?
Yeah.
It was like that. Like they was talking to me. They was calling my name. You know, I was like, I can't.
But
do
a
this.
Whole two pies, though, bro.
A whole two pies.
My girl, mama, she made the pies, man. I blame her. Okay, I'm the victim. I'm the victim.
I'm surprised you didn't have a sugar attack, man.
How many days did it take you to eat two pies?
Okay, I was spacing it out.
Oh my God.
So I would say like a week.
So you're gonna do it again in the next few weeks?
Maybe. Look, man, the pies were that good, man.
Hey, man, I ain't mad at you, but I'm just saying, though, two pies.
Her mom made six pies, and we had like three.
Wait, why she made six pies? That's a lot of pies.
Well, because it's for my girl siblings. She has like five siblings, so she made pies for them, and like they took their pies home. And it was like three left here. So, you know, mathematics, you know, I took two of them to myself, man. Yeah.
Marcus, what? Why do you want him shirtless?
Why you want? No, Marcus. No, that's weird, man. Like, why do you want a shirtless?
That might be weird.
Marcus
says questionable things. Okay.
But yeah, that's why I had to wear this Coss hat, because I couldn't like
stay away from the pie. The two pies.
Like, I can understand a slice. Damn,
bro. Who eats one slice of sweet potato pie?
Shit,
you
man,
eat a
I
couple,
do.
But you don't.
Maybe one or two.
Maybe
wrong. Nah.
I love sweet potato pie, man, but I just can't eat no two whole pies.
Man, they was there. Like, what was
I mean, I get it. I get you, man. No, I get you. Trust me. I get you, but I just.
You could have took one, you know, to 85 and 20 where the homeless guys were.
You could have took a half of one.
Pizza. Yeah, grass. Man. I don't know why you did that. They weren't doing nothing to nobody.
Oh man, I mean, you gotta take one of them. I love sweet potato pie since I was little, man. Like that's one thing that I would just like.
Candy corn?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was possible.
Oh, wow. Now he wants you shirtless and eating pie. Okay.
You're not getting a picture of me shirtless eating sweet potato pie, Marcus. That's weird, man.
Marcus got issues.
And he wants you to hold up too, bro. That's
right. I tried to overlook that comment.
Marcus got issues, y'all. If y'all want to see the comments, you gotta subscribe to our fucking YouTube channel. All right.
Nasty. That's nasty, dog. Stop.
It's Marcus. Trust me. He'll probably follow you. Watch. And then you're just going to regret it.
Right.
Just regret it for the rest of your life.
You have like, to like
yeah. you. Ooh, Lord. You know what? Candy corn is not for serial killers, because I ain't never killed nobody.
Me either.
So shut your mouth. Right? Shut your mouth.
Candy corn is bad.
All right. See, now Eric is tripping. And he's our special guest, so I'm going to try to just stay calm and end this without going off on Eric. Because candy corn is fucking delicious. Y'all know I love some candy corn. So, okay, we'll start off with Eric, since he's our special guest of today, tonight, whatever. Do you have any shout-outs for the people out there, or... let the people know what you do and, you know, all that good shit.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter @_Eric_Robinson. If you don't know by now, I am a writer for The Fopaholic. So whenever you get a chance, head over to The Fopaholic.
A lot of good stuff.
Pretty much everything covered for the draft, game reviews, fantasy input and stuff like that. So, yeah, check us out. Yep.
Yeah. Gang. Reggie, you got any shout outs?
Man, nah, man. Just like you guys as usual, man. And yeah, man. Yeah, follow Eric, man. That's a good read, a good follow, man. I like when he break down the film and stuff too, man. So yeah, follow him. Follow DBN Report. Yeah, man. Nah, that's my shout outs for today.
Sorry, y'all. I read the comments again, and now I regret it. That was why I made the face. Josh, you got any shout-outs?
Like I said, Kaysen, my little boy, my baby, Nina, Emma, sweet potato pies. But yeah, y'all gotta taste them, man.
You already ate them. Why you giving the shut up?
Like, I'm saying, if he's scheming for this week, I mean 2 weeks. If I want to share the next one, then y'all see what I'm talking about. But them pies, man, they addictive. But yeah, DVN, thank you, Eric, for coming on. And y'all follow Eric. Great content. And yeah, that's it. No, not shout out to the people who want to keep Raheem. No. No shout out to them. No.
Breeze shout out is shout out to the people that wanted to keep Raheem and he called y'all clowns. So y'all can attack him at SouthBreeze706. And shout out to Twitter for finally fucking giving us our original account back that we worked so hard to build. Yes. So during, what was it? Which fucking one was it? I think it was George Floyd. I tweeted out on that account. I tweeted out something. I don't even remember, but racists got mad and shut our account down. So we did not get it back from that situation until like, 3 days ago? So we have two accounts now, and we're just going to keep them both open just in case it happens again. We were literally locked out, and Twitter would not give me that account back. I was very upset. But now it's back, and I'm like, I don't know. We're just going to keep both accounts open. And Breeze is probably going to, I think he's going to take over the now new account. I don't know. We're just keeping both accounts open, okay, people? So follow both accounts just in case one of the accounts gets locked again. Right. I guess we can't tweet about Black Lives Matter on either account anymore. But, you know, we'll say it on this fucking show because we're all Black. And fuck y'all that don't like it. What else did I want to shout out? Oh, we have merch. So if you can't afford the merch like myself right now because I'm unemployed, so I can't even afford my own merch, you could support our Patreon. It's as little as a fucking dollar. Okay? If you give us $1, we can hire writers. Because right now, if you want to write for us, you can, but we can't pay you. So, if you want to support us on Patreon and all that good shit. And did I have any other announcements? Oh, so Chris, subscribe to this fucking YouTube channel. It's not hard and it's free. Click the fucking button. We are going to give any one of you who is a subscriber, once we hit 100 subscribers, we're at like 76 right now. When we hit 100, we're going to give away a free Falcons jersey of your choice. We are going to buy you a brand new jersey. Like, not from China, like, not one of them AliExpress ones, like an actual fucking jersey. So hit the subscribe button. And as usual, we thank you all for joining us. Thank you, Eric, so much for joining us. I really didn't think you would join us. That's why I never asked you before, because, you know, you'd be, like, famous and stuff, you know. And we just try and do our thing, you know what I'm saying? We up a little bit, but I really, really, really appreciate you for coming on. I know South Breeze does too. He's somewhere in Thomas. He probably loves it. And thank you, Reggie, for joining us again. Jocelyn, he's always here, whatever. Just And on that note, Georgia, fucking vote. God fucking damn it. Vote. Okay. Now we're out.